Good to be with all of you this morning as we sort of prepare ourselves for the onslaught of young people that will be coming here for this weekend for the Steubenville experience. Before I begin with the homily, just a word of thanks to the Archdiocese of St. Louis. Of course, we all know they're the ones that sponsor and organize this event down here in Springfield. I, as the Bishop of Springfield, Cape Girardeau, all I have to do is show up. None of the headaches, none of the worry. I just get to enjoy it all, but I'm so grateful. And of course, in my time when I was up in St. Louis as a priest, I would always come down here as well. So a word of thanks to Amy and to Tom and all the staff that from Archdiocese that do such a wonderful job. And thanks to all of you. You're the unseen workers. You're the ones that are behind the scenes. You're providing security, safety for the kids, all the stuff that goes on that a lot of times nobody sees, but you're essential. And so to that, I say thank you for giving of your time this weekend. And I know some of you are able to come next weekend as well. And a special word of greeting to our lead students who have been with us during the week. I had the opportunity to help with confessions the other night, and I had a nice time with them. And we pray the Lord's blessings upon all of you as well. This chapel is named after the Claretian martyrs. I don't know if you know that or not. And if you look above the doorway here, there is an artistic rendition of their martyrdom. They were shot by firing squad. That's why that's up there. And of course, that all came to mind this morning when I was saying my prayers and meditating on today's gospel. It's probably not one of the most upbeat gospels that you would want to hear, but we need to hear it anyway. And so we're here in the chapel dedicated to the Claretian martyrs. 51 of them out of 109, but this is for the Claretian martyrs of a certain town. In 1931, when the new government came in Spain, they declared that Spain was no longer Catholic. And of course, they started to attack the Catholic Church, the resulting Spanish Civil War. Over 600,000 people were killed during that Civil War. Over 7,000 nuns and priests were killed, and among them, the 51 that this chapel is dedicated in their honor. Of course, we can ponder the French Revolution. In 1789, with the fall of the monarchy, the people turned against the church, and it resulted in a bloodbath. And among those who were martyred were 16 Carmelite nuns. How could Carmelite nuns be a threat to the government? But they were exiled from their convent, eventually put on trial and condemned as traitors. The 16 Carmelite martyrs of Compiègne who were guillotined. It's one of the most striking theatrical depictions of their martyrdom, if you ever Google that and see the depiction of it. The story goes that the nuns were tried and convicted of treason. They were sentenced to be guillotined, and as each one went up to be martyred, they asked permission from the superior first, permission to be martyred. In every generation, we've had persecutions in the church. We can go back to the 1500s in England, the Reformation. In 1571, the government passed legislation. It was unlawful to be under the authority of the Pope. It was against the law to be a Roman Catholic. And it was against the law to give comfort or harbor a priest, because they were hunting down priests. And we have many English martyrs as a result of all that. Those who were convicted, and there are many, were hanged, drawn, and quartered. That was the traditional way of killing people who were Catholic. Again, not a very uplifting topic, but appropriate. We in the United States have never had such persecution from the government. Yet, that's my point. We certainly have prejudice, and there's still prejudice about Catholics. But we've never had a government in our country that has outwardly, obviously persecuted the church. Yet. But I wonder if it might be right around the corner. And we can speculate on that, and we can kind of end up kind of wringing our hands and saying, oh, what's going to happen? But the beautiful good news about today's gospel is, do not worry about what to say or what to do. The Spirit of the Father will speak through you. What we are called to do is what every Catholic has been called to do in every generation, in every country throughout the world. We're called to be faithful and to trust that God will provide for what we need at the moment. It doesn't say we won't suffer if you listen to the gospel closely. Oh, we probably will. We will suffer. We will pay the price of discipleship. But we can always make an act of trust. And even in the midst of persecution, the martyrs remind us that we can always be faithful. And so in a little bit of a twist, that's the good news. It is good news. Regardless of what happens, and we have the history of our church to teach us that in every generation, in different parts of the world, there have always been persecutions of the church. And who knows when our turn will come here in the United States, God forbid. We're supposed to be a land that has religious freedom. We'll see how that works in the coming decades. But if not, the good news is we don't have to worry about it. What we're called to do is to trust and be faithful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.